It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen, thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And the NFL draft is just one day away. I cannot believe it. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. And so to talk about some of the work he's been doing over at NewYorkJets.com, previewing what the Jets may do in the draft and some of the players they could be looking at, our friend Randy Lang, who, of course, a veteran of the Jets beat before NewYorkJets.com for a long time, beat reporter for the Bergen Record. Randy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Scott. I always count on you to keep my history alive for all those young fans out there who know nothing about me and only want to, you know, move forward and not backward.
Well, let me just say this, Randy. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Jets, and I still think one day I will convince you to write a book of some sort about the team, one of the subjects that you know very well. I'm not sure which one. And when you do, I'm going to be the audiobook narrator. That's a promise.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I do have a book in mind. It's not a slam dunk at this point. It's kind of a soft Joe Namath, Aaron Rodgers, and everything in between book. But we'll fill you in more on that if and when a certain Super Bowl appearance develops. That's the only way that book gets written.
There's a little tease for you. So hope for a Super Bowl, not just because that would mean the Jets actually won the Super Bowl, but also because you get a really good book from Randy out of the deal as well. Randy, I will say this, though. Unfortunately, one quarterback who will not be leading the Jets to any Super Bowls is Zach Wilson. So we'll start with him before we get into the draft stuff. He gets traded to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos and Jets will split the $5.5 million that was guaranteed on Zach Wilson's contract for this year, the final year of his contract. The Jets will receive the Broncos' sixth-round pick. Broncos will receive the Jets' seventh-round pick. The Jets move up about 50 spots in the draft. It's not much, but it's more than most people expected. I think based on the way Zach Wilson performed and how everything went, people thought that they were going to end up having to release him. Instead, at least they got something for him. And honestly, it's funny. They didn't get that much less than what the Patriots got for Mac Jones, who I thought played better than Zach Wilson in New England, and even Justin Fields. Look, it's possible that that's a fourth-round pick that the Bears got from the Steelers for Justin Fields, but more likely it's a sixth-rounder. So not a lot of value to be had for any of these guys in the 2021 draft class. And I think if you're Joe Douglas, one sigh of relief that you breathe is that you didn't mess up taking the wrong quarterback, because none of those guys were good. Trey Lance can't even get on the field beyond the other two that I just mentioned. So at least there's that. Obviously, people are going to second guess the pick, Randy, and people are talking right now about whether or not Zach Wilson is the biggest bust in Jets history, but he wasn't even the biggest bust in that particular draft class. The guy right behind him, Trey Lance, hasn't even been able to get on the field. I've maintained that there are a ton of really bad picks in Jets history. You could go with somebody like Roger Vick, Blair Thomas, Johnny Lamb Jones, Dwayne Robertson, all bad. But the reason why I wouldn't pick any of those guys or Zach Wilson as number one is because Vernon Golston exists. And Vernon Golston was picked number six overall in the 2008 draft, did absolutely nothing, could barely even get onto the field, at least with a guy like Zach Wilson. And Randy, you and I were talking about this before we started recording. A lot of really bad losses, a lot of really bad moments, but there were some good moments and there were some good wins. He had some pretty good games. You go back and look at his rookie season, he actually finished relatively strong, had some good games that year. The game against Tennessee, he was really, really good. Against the Buccaneers with Tom Brady, he was good in that game. Against the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, he outdueled Lawrence when they were both rookies. The Pittsburgh game, the comeback in that one. the last game that he played in full, actually, against Houston, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. So there were at least some positive moments. With Vernon Golston, I couldn't even give you any positive plays. So that's why I think Golston is the number one Jets bust of all time. But talk to me a little bit about Zach Wilson finally moving on here, Randy, and your thoughts on his place in Jets history in terms of all-time busts.
Sure. Before we go to Zach, I was just going to throw out Dee Milliner's name as another contender for that title. And I thought Dee was, you know, unfortunately, he suffered injuries. And he actually played fewer games than Vernon Golston. I think he had 21 games to Vernon's 45. Now, what did Vernon do in those 45? Not as much as Dee did, because Dee had one or two games which were sensational, but then a lot of other games where he just didn't, he wasn't visible. And he went away after two seasons, I believe. So, but as far as Zach goes, you know, I hesitate to, you know, label anybody the all-time bust of the Jets, because, you know, every team has them. You know, there were some very good games for Zach. As we pointed out, the Houston game was fine. He had a four-game winning streak in there. He didn't do it all, but he did enough to lead the Jets to, what was it, 7-4 at that point. I don't think he was there for all seven, but the four wins in the middle got them to 4-2. You know, he looked like he was finally getting it. He had stopped throwing picks for a while. Unfortunately for Zach, I think the very good games, which were few, were outnumbered by the games where he couldn't rally the Jets at all on offense, even when perhaps he had a better complement of players around him as far as the offensive line and the injuries and so on. But there were too many two-pick, three-pick games, no touchdowns, no, you know, just games where he couldn't seem to, you know, he pulled the trigger on passes that were, you know, thrown into the dirt. And, you know, he struggled to have that consistency that you need, especially with the number two pick of the draft. That's a guy you want to take you for 10 years and, you know, lead you to the promised land at least once or twice. And the Jets keep looking for that player. They thought they had him in Sam Darnold. They thought they had him in Zach. You know, they thought they had him in Mark Sanchez, and Mark probably got him closer than anybody. And even then, there's a lot of fans out there who don't remember Mark fondly. But that all being said, I mean, I think a lot of people have offered this perspective. It was good for Zach to get a change of scenery. It will be good. For whatever reasons, things didn't work out with the Jets. And he struggled, obviously. I mean, you know, you can't sugarcoat the numbers. I mean, he was at the bottom of the league in most categories, a lot of them, each year. I mean, his passer rating was low. His completion percentage was low. Touchdown interception was too low. So, you know, you go through all those things, and the drive stats, which I keep, that are very telling, but you don't get to see them all the time unless you really dig. All those things said, well, you know, unfortunately, we've got Aaron Rodgers. We brought in Tyrod Taylor. We could draft another one. I would say it's a good chance that the Jets will draft a low draft pick at quarterback in this draft coming up. So it was time to move on if they could. And Joe Douglas, I think, said all the right things. You know, Zach's people may or may not agree. But, I mean, Joe said, and Woody Johnson also said, you know, Zach is an asset and we're not just going to give him away. And, you know, we've given him permission to look for a trade, but, you know, we're not going to, you know, just cut him loose. And so, I mean, all those things were good in the sense that Zach did still have value to somebody, and I think the Jets sustained that value just a little bit in getting the Broncos to agree to a trade in the days before the draft. So good for Zach to move on, and it's a chance for the Jets to, you know, start over again. Not completely over, because they have one quarterback they hope will, you know, Aaron Rodgers 2.0 will get underway very soon. So, that being said, it's best for all parties, and the Jets have kind of cleared the decks there, I think, and they can now look at pretty much whatever they want to do at each of those spots in the seven picks in the draft that they have, and the couple of picks they have high, the one, the three, the two fours. I believe that's how that falls. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's time now for the Jets to put all that work of the last year, the last 6 months, the hard work of sorting all these players out and trying to figure out their board and who they're going to take at number one and who they're going to take in the lower rounds, and get on with it. And let's fill in around Aaron Rodgers and make sure the defense is well stocked, which it is. But, you know, as Robert Saleh said, with pass rushers, you can never have too many. So that's why I wouldn't rule out a pass rusher at some point in this draft. But it's time for the Jets to get it on for 2024. And I think that, you know, I like what Joe Douglas has done in many of the drafts. Obviously, 2022 was phenomenal. The other drafts, you know, fans will argue, I'm sure. But I'm looking for Joe and the Jets draft operation to optimize the picks that they have in the 24 draft coming up in a few days.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Randy, you talked about the Jets probably going with a quarterback at some point in this draft, most likely in the mid to late rounds. It'll be somebody that'll replace Zach Wilson as the developmental quarterback, somebody who might have a chance to be the quarterback of the future. You did some good work over at NewYorkJets.com on the quarterback position and the offensive line position heading into the draft. Talk a little bit about it.
Well, the quarterback position in particular we made reference to, and what we were doing, I thought it was a really good approach because we haven't done this in previous years, but each of us in the multimedia area, I think we had four different people writing position previews for the draft. And instead of just listing, let's say, our top six at the position, which, you know, the Jets may or may not pick any of them, you know, I mean, or one of them. But we took somebody's mock draft, some name, some recognizable draft analyst's name from one of the top websites, NFL.com, CBS Sports, some of the other ones, Draft Tech I look at, Walter Football. You know, there's a bunch out there that do regular mock drafts that, and of course, Daniel Jeremiah, I mean, you know, Mel Kiper, I mean, you know, we can go on and on. But we took one of those drafts and saw who the Jets were predicted to pick in that draft. And if it was an offensive tackle, we did the offensive tackle story based on that mock draft. And if it was a wide receiver, we went wide receiver. So I did the quarterbacks, and the change up there was, I don't see the Jets taking a quarterback at number one or two or three or four. I mean, you know, realistically, This is a developmental position for them because they have Aaron Rodgers, they have Tyrod Taylor. They may well bring in a free agent, either a veteran or an undrafted free agent. So they could have four on the roster, at least for training camp. But I'm saying, well, let's see who they might like in day three, rounds 4 to 7. And, you know, I came up with several names, and I'm sure the Jets fans who are studying this know them. Tennessee's Joe Milton is one. Tulane, Mike Tannenbaum's old school. Michael Pratt is the quarterback there. Both of those guys could go high on day three, somewhere in round four, maybe round five. And then a guy that I liked, just interesting to me, and somebody that they obviously have studied since they studied Jermaine Johnson a few years ago, is Jordan Travis from Florida State. And he's been projected lower even than the other guys. He's like a possibly a round six guy, which would be around the Jets' 185th overall pick. And the thing with Jordan Travis is, if some fans aren't familiar with him, is he had a very good last season at FSU, but it ended painfully with a fractured and dislocated ankle. And so even though he, I think he went 11-0 as the starter, and the Seminoles were at the number five national ranking at that time, and he had 20 TDs to two interceptions, and he was having a very fine last season. And then he didn't end it healthfully, and he's got a rehab And so I'm sure that's going to be a process going forward for him. But, I mean, it is an ankle. I mean, hopefully, and I haven't checked out his rehab prognosis online, but I would say that there's a good possibility that he could be available. And if they were to choose him, that they could work with him. And Aaron Rodgers obviously would work with him, and Tyrod Taylor. And they could have him at least ready if he is the guy late in the draft to do a little activity on the field. Maybe, you know, you hope you don't need to see him starting any games. You want to see Aaron Rodgers starting, what, 17 plus 3 or 4, maybe 21 games. And that would be the optimal quarterback rotation. But a guy like Jordan Travis, with the skills he has, he's a strong leader, a strong passer, he's a winner, could be a guy who could be, you know, maybe a steal in the sixth round, or maybe just another quarterback. But the one thing that I think it was Joe Douglas said in his pre-draft presser last week was we would like to become a quarterback factory. I don't think he meant that in certainly not a pejorative sense. He wants to have quarterbacks coming in all the time in the draft, in free agency, just to look at them, to see, you know, if they would fit into the Jets program and keep them around for a while. There's a possibility they would stick and they could become starters. There's another possibility that they could become trade material and move on to another team, and the Jets reap some good rewards as far as draft capital goes with those trades. So, you know, Joe Douglas has talked about several different directions that he likes to go in as a general manager. One of them is in the trenches, offensive and defensive line, but another is quarterback. So I think they'll be looking at that position. Let's put it that way. And I can't predict who they'll take, but the guy I like for them in round six is Jordan Travis.
Randy, the Jets have the number 10 overall pick in the draft, and this is not the first time they've had that pick. In fact, as recently as 2022, they had that pick and did pretty well with it. And looking at the history of them having the number 10 overall pick, they've done pretty well each time they've had it, right?
Yeah, they have. And let me just call something up. I mean, the last two times they picked number 10, many years apart, but in 1985, they went with Al Toon out of Wisconsin, who was a great wide receiver for them. Did not last long enough, obviously, in many opinions, because he had concussion issues at the end. But he had a great career for the Jets, and he's in the Ring of Honor. In 2022, the Jets and Joe Douglas went with Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. And after 2 years, you know, you can't say that he's a Ring of Honor guy yet, but he sure looks like he can be. And who knows, maybe even more. Maybe that perennial All-Pro, Pro Bowler. Could he be a Hall of Famer? We'll find out. But right now he's off to a very good start of his career, and he's in a position where he could be a linchpin in the Jets' offense of Aaron Rodgers, to go along with not only Breece Hall and not only, you know, whoever else you want to mention, Tyler Conklin at tight end, but could they add a Brock Bowers at tight end at number 10? That could be another big piece to the offensive puzzle. Are they looking at Roma Dunes from Washington as the number 10 wide receiver? Will he slip down to them there? That would be, I think, a very good acquisition. And then all of a sudden, Garrett Wilson is not alone out there trying to fight for, you know, 9 or 10 yards a catch. He can get downfield, catch those passes that they call him Gumby for. You know, this one of his nicknames is the contortions he makes to come up with some of those catches. And he can get down into the or get up into the 15-yard range instead of, you know, puttering along at 9 or 10 yards, because teams are double teaming him and are very much aware of what he can do and the damage he can do in the offense. So you know, that's one of the angles that obviously we're all looking at with that number 10 pick, or if the Jets were to trade up and try to secure somebody a little higher, is who would they go for? And those are a few of the names that I think they would be interested in.
Randy, one last bit of business. You guys do a nice feature over at NewYorkJets.com. It's called the Question Series, where you take a question and you all answer it. You bat it around and each of you take a stab at what you think the best answer is. This week's question is particularly relevant to what's going on tomorrow, the NFL draft. Talk to me a little bit about the question and the responses people can find over at NewYorkJets.com.
Sure. I think this one's going up the day of the draft. Usually we put up the question series feature on Fridays. But of course, if you're going to ask the question, what are the Jets and Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh going to do with the number 10 pick? Will they trade up? Will they trade back? Or will they stand pat and use number 10 to take the best player available? That is the question, and that will be up sometime Thursday earlier in the day so that fans can get our last take on it. Needless to say, we're not official. We don't know what's happening. We're not talking to Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh every day, so this is not in any way predictive necessarily. But I tried to game plan what Joe Douglas might do, and I can't really do it because he's done it all. He started in 2019, but his first draft was 2020 with the Jets. And from 2020 to 2023, I mean, the numbers I've toted up are he kept 13 of his own picks, and only three in the last 2 years. One of them being Sauce Gardner, and 18 of his own picks he traded. So that's 13 kept, 18 traded. Now, what happens to the other picks? Well, he traded for 20 other picks and kept them and used them. But then he traded for 11 picks and then traded them away again. So he's been very versatile as far as moving up and down the draft. He will stay at a position if he obviously likes what his board says and you know who's coming up. As other teams pick ahead of them. But he is not certainly afraid to pull the trigger on either direction, moving up, which you know he did to get Garrett Wilson. In fact, Garrett was a part of the Jamal Adams trade in 2020, and the Jets got him number 10 in 2022. He traded up to get Elijah Vera Tucker in 21. Jermaine Johnson, he went up a little bit to get Jermaine in 22 at number 26. Will McDonald, the jury's still out, but he looks like he could be one of those Hellcats that Joe Douglas has termed his front four pass rushers, edge rushers. They got Will McDonald number 15 in the 23 draft, another trade. So, you know, the question being, what do you think the Jets will do? I can't say that I think they'll do any one of the three. But I go back to what Joe, one of the things he said at his pre-draft news conference, he said, "We definitely have 10 players that we're excited to take, so we're ready to roll." Is that definitive? Does that mean he's definitely going to stay at 10 and take that 10th best player or somebody higher if that player falls to him? No, of course not. I mean, he says if his phone's ringing, he's going to be prepared to answer it and talk turkey. So anything could still happen, but my choice, my decision for the Jets would be, or prediction would be that they'll stay at number 10, they'll let the draft come to them, and they'll take that best wide receiver, tackle, or tight end that comes to them, who's number one on their board. And we know the names, you know, we mentioned them here, a few of them, Odunze and Bowers and who's a Fuaga and you know, Joe Alt's not going to be there, but you know, Fashanu. I mean, you know, there's a number of players that the Jets could like there, but I think they will, and Joe Douglas will let the draft come to them at number 10, and they will take the best player available, which is their modus operandi when they stand pat at a position.
Randy Lang, longtime beat reporter for the Bergen Record, currently over at NewYorkJets.com. Thanks so much for coming on and talking through all of this right before the NFL draft. We are on the eve of the NFL draft. Incredible. It seems like it snuck up on us, Randy, because of everything that the Jets did in free agency. Usually we have so much time to talk about these players and debate them and all of that. And certainly we did quite a bit of that. But it was an abbreviated version because we spent so much time talking about what the Jets would do in free agency and then debating their acquisitions. So a different draft season this year than most for the New York Jets. You guys are going to have a lot of great coverage going up as the draft is happening at NewYorkJets.com, but I'm sure you're going to have plenty to say after the Jets make their picks, right?
Oh, absolutely. It will continue. We'll go on through Saturday night. The Jets did trade away one of those compensatory picks to Denver for in the Zach Wilson trade, a little swap of picks. But they kept Mr. Irrelevant. I think that's number 257, if my math is correct. So we'll be talking about Mr. Irrelevant, who becomes suddenly relevant when he's in that position. And then, of course, after the draft, the Jets have their undrafted free agency signings, and those will, you know, they'll be out everywhere online. But the Jets will probably wait to gather all the names together and release them at a few days later down the road. But that'll be a part of our coverage. And then, of course, there's the rookie minicamp, and the OTAs begin, and eventually we'll get to the mandatory mini camp in early June. And that's when everybody shows up or is supposed to show up. And from there, it's the dark period. And then we're on to training camp 24.
Training camp is right around the corner. It's crazy, Randy. The NFL never stops. It really is a 24/7, 365 league because we've got the draft, then we've got the schedule coming out, then we've got mini camp, then we got training camp, then the preseason, then the season. So they space this out. So we're talking about the NFL all year long, and we're going to have plenty to talk about with you after the draft. Looking forward to having you back on. In the meantime, follow Randy on Twitter and check out everything that he's doing over at NewYorkJets.com. Check out everything we've got up at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Some brand new videos up there. Look at some of the prospects the Jets might take tomorrow in the NFL draft. Troy Fatanu and Tala Isfawaga, two offensive linemen that have gotten some buzz with the Jets. We've got videos on them, courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant. We've also got videos on Malik Nabers, who they would have to trade up for, presumably. But as Randy said, they might trade up, they might trade back, they might stay put. We don't know. If they stay put, could they get Rome Odunze, the outstanding wide receiver from the University of Washington? Maybe, maybe not, but we've got a video up, so if you want to take a look at him and see what the Jets would be getting if they did get him, we've got that. We've also got a video on Georgia tight end Brock Bowers, who, of course, has generated a lot of discussion among Jets fans over the last couple of weeks and months. So watch all those videos. They're all up right now at youtube.com/playlikeajet and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo, shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there. teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
At LASIK Plus, we know LASIK is a big decision, and every one of our patients is unique. That's why we customize your LASIK journey to you.
I'm so busy right now.
We offer a mix of convenient days and times, including 30-minute virtual appointments to fit your schedule.
I would love it, but I have astigmatism.
We treat thousands of patients with astigmatism every month with great outcomes. LASIK Plus is making your journey towards 20/20 vision all about you. So visit mylasikoffer.com today to start your LASIK journey.